message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Well, we're glad to have you join us again today for another Bible study, another time to look into God's Word. We're going to turn back again to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Perfection in the passage is not some sinless plane of never having any problems. It's the issue of being perfectly and completely furnished and equipped to do the job God has given us to do as His servants. When He says there that the man of God, you understand that what He's talking about, the Bible often uses the term man in a generic sense. We live in a very thin-skinned, shallow age, you know, where sometimes people say, well, if you say man, well, you should have said woman too, and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the word woman has man in it, if you ever looked at it and spelled it. So the thing is, mankind is a very common term that used to be used for humanity. Humankind, they call it now, you know. And again, those politically correct statements. The problem with being, quote, politically correct, the PS statements today, is they change so often. By the time you see this program, maybe it'll be changed from the time I'm speaking it. So, you know, PC used to be personal computer. Now it's politically correct. And next week it might be something else when another fad comes along to try to sell you something new, you know, the new, improved version. So we just stick by the book, you know, go by the old Bible, and it never changes. When you get a book that never changes, you need to stick by that because you've got something that's solid, something you can build yourself on and stand on. And not you know, don't blow a gasket and have a sense of humor about what's going on, that kind of thing. But think. See, you got to think. You got to stand on your own two feet and do this. It's not something, studying the Scripture, your spiritual life is something you can't leave to somebody else. It's something you're responsible for. That old book says, so then every one of us should give account of himself to God. And my responsibility as a pastor and as a Bible teacher is to teach the Word of God. Your responsibility is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You see, God gave us His book. And my friend, that's a wonderful thing. We've seen that God wrote a book and that He's preserved it intact through history for us, and that we have it right here in our language. When we study a King James Bible, we're studying God's Word inspired and preserved through history and translated in our language, and we have the absolute infallible authority of Scripture, and that our Bible, our King James Bible, is just as accurate and reliable and authoritative and trustworthy as the Word of God itself, for that's what it is, the Word of God. And it's for our profit. It didn't just write it to us so it'd have a fetish or some trinket to carry around. He wrote His Word for our profit. So it's important that when we come to the Word of God, that we're able to confidently trust what God has written and preserved for us. And that's why we emphasize that the King James Bible is absolutely, unlike every other version on the market today in the English language, the King James Bible is the only one that is absolutely, completely trustworthy. All the rest have mistakes in them, textual mistakes. Verses that ought not be there, verses left out that ought to be there, but the King James Bible is the complete, whole Word of God. The other versions deny the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They question His bodily resurrection and His blood atonement. And they're filled with errors. So you want to have a Bible that's reliable. And that's what we have when we have the King James Bible. Then you want to study it. You don't just want to have it and sit it on the shelf, you know, and get down, blow the dust off of it every now and then, put it on your arm, march off to church with it or to a funeral or to a marriage. You want to study it. You want to get into it so you can take it and get it into you, because it's the Word of God that works in you that's profitable. Can I tell you that the most wonderful thing you'll ever have happen to you in your life is to have God's Word go to work in your life? That word work there, God, the word that works in you that believe, it's a translation from a Greek word, energero. We get our word energy from it. The working there is, the Word of God works. It energizes your life. And you don't need an energizer battery for that. You've got the Spirit of God taking the Word of God. It'll save your soul, forgive your sins. You know what? You won't have to be hounded by the pangs of guilt and doubt and fear from your sins, because there is a message in God's Word about how God Himself is taking care of your sins. You can put confidence in it, take care of that. It'll save you. And then as a Christian, it'll stabilize your life. It'll bring purpose and direction and stability to you. Oh, to have God's Word go to work in your life is the most exciting experience. It's the most exciting thing that could ever happen to you this side of eternity. It's a wonderful thing. So it's wonderful to have God's Word, and it's wonderful to have it work in our life, but it's important that you understand something. When you know what the Word is, then you have to be careful to study it in the proper manner so as to discover what God has said to us in His Word. The way to get the profit out of the Word that God's put in it for us is to approach His Word in the proper way. Now, when I say that, you need to understand that before Paul ever said what he said in 2 Timothy 3, he had already written a verse that talked about how to study the Scripture, and that's in 2 Timothy 2. Now, it's important for you to understand that all the Bible is the Word of God. It's equally, from one end to the other, all God's Word. It's all for us, but it's all not written about us. It's not all written to us. It's all His Word, but it's not all about... Only an egotistical maniac would believe otherwise. You know that? I mean, God has other people in His programs than just us. We're not all that there is. And they deserve specific and special instructions just as much as we do. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You see that first word there? Study. I mean, this takes work. You've got to get in the book. Study. That's why on this program we look and we compare verses and we study. It's not just entertainment. It's not just music time. This is not just a wonderful time to have a good... This is study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the issue. Having God's approval. A workman. That's who we are. We're to work, be His workmanship that needeth not to be ashamed. How are you going to do that? Notice the words there. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, it's important to come to God's Word and treat it the way God says to treat it. And He says, study it. And when you study it, God tells you, He says, I'll tell you how to study it. I'll tell you how to approach it. I'll tell you how to get the profit out of it. How's that? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. That is, you have to recognize the things that differ in Scripture. Now look at here. In the Scripture, there are things that are different. That's not a new concept. It's nothing new with Paul or with us that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. For example, there is a classic and easily identifiable difference in God's dealings with mankind throughout the course of the ages, seen in the dietary laws that God gave man. When God put Adam on the earth back here, and the first man, when He put Adam back there, He gave Adam, in Genesis chapter 1, a diet. And He said that he was to eat vegetables. He was to eat the herbs. And so back here, they just ate the vegetation. But you come on over after the flood. The flood, Noah builds the ark, and the flood goes out there. When Noah and his family come off the ark, and after the flood, when they come out there, God changes their dietary laws. He says that every animal, Genesis chapter 9, every animal that moves, every animal that lives, you can eat. So back here, they just ate vegetation. They were vegetarians. Over here, they can add meat, animal flesh to their diet, any meat that they want to eat. Then later on, when God called out Moses and the nation Israel, and he gave Moses the law back here. When he gave Moses the law, he said there's only certain kind of meat you can eat. And he said you can't have some kind of meat. You can't have any pork, for example. You can't have any catfish, for example. Boy, that gets to meddling when you say you can't have catfish. And some other things. And in Leviticus chapter 11, he says, well, you can eat some things, but then there are some of them you got to scratch off your diet. Now, you tell me something. If you were an Israeli living back here in time past under the law in Moses' day, and you started reading the scripture, and you read back there in Genesis chapter number 1 that God told man in the original, before the fall, that he was to be a vegetarian. Then you read over there in Genesis 9 that he told Noah he could eat anything he wanted to. Then you hear Moses say in Leviticus 11 that you can't eat pork and can't eat catfish and some restricted things on your diet. You can't have bacon and eggs. You can't have the bacon. You can't have Canadian bacon. You can't have pork roast and so on and so forth. And all these things that are limited. If you were standing back here in Moses' day and you looked at the Word of God and you came up to Moses and said to Moses, I know what you say in Leviticus about what we can't eat and what we can. But look at here, your word, God's word, in fact, Moses, you wrote down over there in Genesis 9 that it was okay to eat anything I want to eat. Could this man in Moses' day quote scripture to Moses that he wrote and still be out of the will of God? As sure as you're shooting, he could. Would it make a difference to a man in time past back there if he rightly divided the word of truth, made a distinction and a difference in God's dealings? You better believe it would. You know something, folks? The most important thing God in time past could do would be to rightly divide the word. This is not a new concept. Because that man back there under the law, I mean, he could say Genesis 9 is Scripture, Genesis 1 is Scripture, and I'm going to do those things and be quoting Scripture and be out of the will of God because he had making the distinction between God's programs back there and his program for the nation Israel in here. You see that? Now, that's what's called rightly dividing the word of truth. That's called right division, dispensational Bible study, recognizing the differences in God's dealings with men. Let me give you another illustration. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. When Moses spoke to the nation Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he says to them, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land of which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word that I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. God Almighty gave the nation Israel the law. And he said, don't add to it, don't diminish from it. You keep that law exactly the way I gave it to you. Now, if you go over to Romans chapter number 6, you'll see that the Apostle Paul over here in the dispensation of grace over here in the grace age, the grace dispensation that came in through the ministry of the Apostle Paul for members of the church, the body of Christ, where we are over here. Over here, Paul says, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And in Romans chapter 7, he says, we've been delivered from the law, that being dead where we're held, that we might be married to another. He says that Jesus Christ at Calvary back here, when he died at Calvary, he took the law out of the way. Now look at here. These passages back there, they say, yes, you got to keep the law. That passage over there says, no, you don't keep the law. Now you tell me. Is that a difference? Why, you know, a 6-year-old kid that didn't think very much could tell you there's a difference in that, couldn't he? Well, I had 3 6-year-olds that could tell you the difference in that. Sure, there's a difference. Can you see where you need to make a distinction between those two things? Rightly dividing the word of truth? Go with me to Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. Back there in Genesis 17, God made a covenant with Abraham. Verse 13, he said, "For he that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised." He says to these people back over here, you got to be circumcised. And if you're not circumcised, you know what's going to happen to you? The uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Back over here, he says, if you're not circumcised, you've broken my covenant. You come over here, and you know what Paul says about circumcision? He says, circumcision availeth nothing. And uncircumcision availeth nothing. But the new creature, the body of Christ, that's all it can. You know what counts with God over here? Not circumcision, not uncircumcision, but being a member of the body of Christ counts. Now, you know, I look at that and I say, that's different. That's different. Now, I tell you what, the preacher might say it's not different, but I look at that and I say, in that book, that's different. Keep the law, not under the law, you're under grace. Got to be circumcised or you're outside the covenant. Circumcision doesn't make any difference to God anymore. That's different, folks. That's different. You know what that is? That's rightly dividing the word of truth. That's marking the difference, noticing the difference. And noticing where you are. Remember, all the Word of God is for you. It's all God's Word. Don't you ever let anybody tell you, you heard on this program, or you heard this preacher, say that book isn't all God's Word. Don't you ever let anybody come along and say, well, they're just throwing part of the Bible out. I believe every word in the King James Bible is the Word of God. And it's mine, brother. Don't you leave one word out of a King James Bible. Don't you add one verse to a King James Bible. Leave it just like it is. If you do, if you add to it or you take away from it, you're the Bible chopper. Not me. I mean, does your preacher make that clear of a profession about what the Word of God is? I hope he do. I hope you do. I hope you understand what it is. But my friend, the thing about right division is not leaving it out. It's all for you, but it's not all to you. And it's not all about you. You see, there are other people in God's program back over here that have Scripture to them and about what God's doing in their life and in their time that don't fit us. And rightly dividing the Word of truth has to do with making the distinctions between those things. Come with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm chapter 51. O King David has been caught in sin. And he says in Psalm chapter 51, verse number 11, as he's praying for God to forgive him, he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He says over here, he says, I don't want you to take your Holy Spirit away from me. I want to be secure. I want to know I got him. You know what Paul says over here? Paul says over here that you're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. That is, until the resurrection. You can't get rid of the Spirit of God over here even if you wanted to. And if I know anything about you, like I know about me, every now and then you want to. And God says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. There's no believer in that dispensation of grace over there, members of the body of Christ, ever have to pray what David prayed. These people back here, they didn't have any security. You and I, we've got security. You ever hear anybody talk about once saved, always saved? And about whether they believed it or they didn't believe it? Well, there are some people back there that didn't believe it, and there are some people over there that did believe it. There are some people back over there that didn't have a once saved, always saved testimony. There's some people over here that did. You know why people go around and say, well, I don't believe in once saved, always saved? Because the Bible says, and then they quote verses back here. And then somebody says, well, I believe when you're saved, you know, once born again, always born again. Once in the family, always in the family. And they quote verses right there. You ever notice that? You know why that is? That's called rightly dividing the word of truth. It's all for you, brother, but it isn't all about you, and it isn't all to you. Now, I hope that's clear enough. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And notice something very important about the Word of God. It's important that you properly handle the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 16. Peter is talking about the Apostle Paul, and he says, "And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest," that is, they twist these things, wrest, like wrestling. They wrest, they twist these things, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own, what? Destruction. Do you realize, my friend, that the scriptures can absolutely be dangerous to your spiritual life if you don't rightly divide them? If you twist this book and you try to twist this over into that and that over into this, you know what you're going to have? You're going to do it to your own destruction. Now you remember this, will you? Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You remember that all the Bible's for you, but all the Bible's not to you, and it's not about you. That's the golden key to Bible study. The golden key to Bible study is to ask who's writing, when did they write, and to whom did they write. That's the issue. If you can't have that, I mean, if you can't figure that out, friend, you're going to wind up messing things up. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Paul says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." You see that? Give no offense to the Jew, or to the Gentile, or to the church of God. Now there's a clear threefold classification that it's important that you notice the distinction between. There's Jews, Israel back here, and then there's Gentiles, and then there's the church of God, and that you have to rightly divide between those. Now come over with me to Galatians chapter 3 and let me show you why that's true. Look back here now. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 7. Galatians 2, verse number 7. You've got the Jew. Then you've got the church, the body of Christ. Then you've got the Gentile out here. We'll talk more about this stuff next time, but notice these distinctions. Galatians 2, verse 7. Paul is talking, and he says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision..." Over here, didn't he say circumcision doesn't avail anything? So over here you got the good news to the uncircumcision, that's the Gentile. "Unto Paul," he says, "was committed the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision," these people over here, "was committed to Peter." Now look at here, folks. There's a difference between the ministry given to Peter and the ministry given to Paul in that Bible. And you need to understand this. If you're going to understand the book, you're going to have to understand and recognize this basic distinction, this divinely given division between the ministry committed by Christ to Peter on the one hand and the later ministry committed by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory to the Apostle Paul on the other hand. And let me show you why that's important. Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost. Now think with me a minute. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches to the nation Israel. And in Acts chapter 2, he tells them how to be saved. Look at what he says. Acts 2 verse number 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, you cut that verse any way you want to, but when they ask Peter what to do, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, change your mind, repent, change your mind about Christ, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come and confess Him as Messiah and be baptized in the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's exactly what John the Baptist had preached to the nation Israel. Look back up here at the chart for a minute. John the Baptist had come back here and preached to the nation Israel about the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. called all the nation of Israel to repentance. Jesus Christ told his apostles in his post-resurrection ministry, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's exactly what Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. To the nation Israel. Did you notice in verse 14 and verse 22 and verse 36 of Acts 2, he's talking to Israel? That's Peter's message. But now notice the contrast in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul, that other apostle, that over here on the other side of the division, Paul says in Acts 16, when the Philippian jailer comes to Paul in Acts 16 verse 30, and the jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's exactly the same question they asked Peter back in Acts 2. What must I do? Well, notice what he says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Anybody believes can be saved. There's no baptism in Paul. There's no water baptism. There's no repentance for the remission of sins. There's just simply faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now look back up here a minute. One at the ministry over here, the ministry over there. This ministry over here from Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The ministry over here, Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul writes as the, he says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If a Gentile is going to get in the body of Christ, he's going to get in there through that ministry right there. We're talking about understanding the Bible. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a difference. There's a distinction. And you have to make the distinctions in the scripture that God makes there. Now, what right did Paul have to change the message that Peter preached? No right except God changed it. And that's exactly what happened. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory up there, reached down and saved the apostle Saul of Tarsus and sent him out with a new message, a different message, a distinct message for us today. We'll talk more about it next time. Until then, Maranatha.
We have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Golden Key. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 145. That's tape offer number 145. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.